You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right. The court is now in session. Honorable Stephen W. Boyce, judge presiding.
Thank you. Please be seated. We could have the jurors brought in, please, Mr. Bailiff.
All right, please.
Here's our present counter for you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're back on the record on case CR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. State's present, as well as the defendant and defense counsel. The jurors are all presently appearing and properly seated and accounted for, and I've received the juror affirmation from each one of the jurors. So thank you again for continuing to follow the court's instruction as we break each day. At this time, the state is continuing in its case in chief, and I believe has additional witnesses to call today. Who will be calling the next witness, and who is the witness?
Your Honor, I will be calling Cammie Wilmore.
Very well. If you can call your witness at this time.
Swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Thank
you. Okay, thank you.
Okay, now that the witness has been sworn, I do have a few questions before we begin with direct examination. Ms. Wilmore, have you watched any of the trial, viewed any of the testimony given in this trial since it began?
No.
Okay, have you talked to anyone else about any testimony they've given in trial?
No.
Okay, thanks for your responses. Ms. Blake, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you. Would you please state your name again and spell it for the record?
Cammie Wilmore. Cammie Wilmore.
Where are you currently employed?
I'm employed with Fremont County as an advanced EMT, and I also work at the St. Anthony Seminary as an administrative assistant.
How long have you been an EMT?
15 years.
And you said you're currently an advanced EMT?
Yes.
Prior to becoming an EMT, did you have any other background in the medical field?
Yes, I worked about 40 years as a medical assistant.
As an EMT, are you trained in responding to emergency medical situations?
Yes.
In 2019, did you hold the position of deputy coroner for Fremont County?
Yes, I did.
Do you recall approximately when you became the deputy coroner?
It would have been about February or March of 2019.
What are some of the job duties of a deputy coroner?
You're called to a scene for a death and go responsible for going in and looking at the body and talking to the family and pronouncing that they have deceased, and just checking the scene over, medications.
And who was the elected coroner when you were working as a deputy coroner?
Brenda Dye.
Are you still a deputy coroner?
No.
When you were working as a deputy coroner, would you respond to unattended deaths?
Yes.
What is an unattended death?
It's a death where it has not been witnessed by somebody, or they're not under the care of hospice or a doctor at the time.
And when you became deputy coroner, so let me back up. As an EMT, had you ever responded out to a scene where someone ended up dying or was already dead?
Yes.
Had you ever responded out to a scene where someone was determined to have died of asphyxiation?
I had not.
Do you recall responding out to an unattended death on October 19th of 2019?
Yes.
Prior to responding out to that death scene, do you know approximately how many unattended deaths you'd responded out to as a deputy coroner?
At that time, only like five or six. I was new.
When you responded out to the unattended death on October 19th of 2019, did you learn who the decedent was?
Yes.
And who was that?
It was Tammy Daybell.
Had you ever heard the name Tammy Daybell before that you recall?
No, I had not.
Did you know Chad Daybell?
I did not.
When you arrived on the scene, do you recall who else was present at the residence?
A Fremont County Sheriff, Allie Greenhall, was there, and then Chad.
Do you recall making any initial observations of Chad Daybell?
Just when I came in, he was distraught. It was appropriate, crying, stating that his wife had passed away
At some point, did you see or meet someone else at the residence?
Yes, his son came in later into the bedroom when we were in there.
And did you learn his son's name?
Was Garth Daybell.
Did you make any observations of Garth?
Garth was very quiet, did not say hardly anything.
And as part of responding out to an unattended death, do you generally try to gather information from individuals on scene?
Yes.
Did you do that in this case?
Yes. I spoke with Chad about her history and what he felt had happened.
And what do you recall him telling you?
He said that I asked if she'd had any medical issues, and he said that she hadn't, but that in the last month or so, she had not felt, she'd had some hypotension and some lightheadedness, and that she had been a little bit clumsy, but that she didn't have any other major medical problems.
And when you use the term hypotension, what would that mean?
Like low blood pressure.
Did you also ask him about the circumstances surrounding her death?
Yes. What had happened?
And what did he tell you?
He said that they'd been sleeping and that she was coughing and had gotten up and gone into the bathroom and she was vomiting. And so he'd gone in there and she was vomiting. And then after she was finished, that she seemed to be okay, they went back to bed and went back to sleep.
And when you arrived, did Chad indicate whether or not Tammy's body had been moved prior to your arrival?
Yes, he did. He told me that he made it a point to tell me that he thought that she was menopausal and that she liked to sleep with one leg outside of the covers, and that he thinks that's how she was sleeping that night, and that at some point that she must have passed away and he'd maybe moved in bed or something, which caused her body to fall out of the bed. He said like she kind of slept on the edge of the bed with her leg out, and that he felt like that's how come she had fallen out.
And when he described her as falling out, was it your understanding that her whole body fell out of the bed?
The way that I recall him describing it was that she'd kind of slipped out, that she had one leg entangled in a blanket or a sheet or something. And so I'm not positive how he was stating it. My mind was that she was partially on the ground, like her head and part of her body on the ground with one leg still maybe entangled.
And you had indicated you went into the bedroom.
Yes.
Was that where Tammy's body was located?
Yes, she was on the bed in the bedroom.
And Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 295M. I will indicate there are some photos from 295 that had already been admitted. It's my understanding that these photos were stipulated to. They were the photos taken by Deputy Greenalge.
All right.
And there is a copy for counsel, a courtesy copy for Your Honor, and a copy is the exhibit.
Okay, please let me look those over before they're published.
And if the witness may be shown one.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if the court would prefer that this not be broadcast to the public.
This one appears fine to me. And to be clear then, 295, is this a series of photographs?
It is a series of photographs that had previously been admitted. However, M was not one of them. We ended with 295L in that packet.
Okay, and are you looking to publish?
I would be moving for admission and then requesting to publish.
Okay. Yeah, this particular photo may be published to the public. And the witness wants, and if it is admitted. So, Mr. Pryor, have you had an opportunity to review 295M?
Judge, this photo was previously stipulated by the parties.
Okay. So 295M then is admitted.
And I believe Your Honor said so, but may I have permission to publish?
Yes, you may.
Ms. Wilmore, is this what you saw when you entered the bedroom?
Yes.
And what did you notice initially?
Just that her legs were stiff, like coming in, I could think, okay, has passed away for a while. So because the way her legs were kind of on the bed and out straight, that she was covered up. So which just caused me to feel like, yes, she's been passed away for a little bit of time.
And Your Honor, if I may hang on to this momentarily, I would want to publish it one more time.
Very well.
Ms. Wilmore, what other observations, if any, did you end up making in regards to Tammy's body?
So we took the sheet down to just kind of look at her body to see. And the only I looked for things on her face and neck and stuff all around her. All I really saw were a few bruises on her bicep at the time that I felt just looked like somebody had bumped into something, or not a fresh bruise, more of a older looking bruise to me.
And did any of your initial observations cause you pause?
Yes. When I walked in, she had this foaming that was coming out of her mouth. That was probably the very first thing that I was surprised at. It wasn't something that I hadn't really seen before. I've seen foaming little bits, but this was kind of like a foam cone that was coming out of her mouth. So I was surprised by that.
And did you actually end up doing anything in relation to that?
I didn't at the time. I knew that the coroner was coming, and so I didn't really want to do anything with the body till she got there.
And when you talk about the coroner coming, if the coroner shows up, would she then take over the job duties?
Yes.
So as deputy coroner, you more respond out if she's unavailable, is that correct?
Yeah, if she's unavailable, or like I could get to the scene quickly. She had to come from Island Park. It was close. And so she just had me respond first.
And do you recall approximately when you arrived at the Daybell residence?
The call came about 6 in the morning. And so it was probably about 6:35 or 6:40 by the time I got there. Their house was like 10 miles away from where I live. Had to get up, get dressed, that kind of thing.
And when the call came in, was it pretty clear that there was no need for emergency services?
Yes, it was. When you call the coroner, it's a death, a deceased person. And so I wasn't worried, and I knew that probably an ambulance wasn't coming. So I was not in a really quickly hurrying.
And when you talked about her body being stiff, did that indicate anything to you?
Yes, that she'd been passed for at least a few hours, maybe more. I didn't know how long, but it wasn't just recently.
And did you, in relation to the bruises, you indicated you noted them, but couldn't really tell what caused them?
No. Yeah. They weren't really large or anything.
And did you do anything in addition to the bruises to try to verify the age of them?
No.
And would that be something that you would normally do?
No, just noticing the color of them. Not on a scene like this. Maybe if there had been a ton of them, it would have been, there wasn't a lot.
And generally, in looking at the age of bruises, is that something that a medical examiner would do?
Yes.
When Brenda arrived on scene, the coroner, did you go in and observe Tammy's body again with Miss Dye?
Yes.
And was a further examination done of Tammy's body at that time once Miss Dye arrived?
Yes, she came in and did the same thing. She also wiped the foam off of her mouth at that time, which I wanted to do, but it didn't do because I wanted her to see that. But as soon as she wiped that away, it came again in just a very short time, which I remember feeling like that was weird, that I hadn't really seen that before.
And Your Honor, if I may publish 295M again.
You may.
And in this photo, Ms. Wilmore, you talked about the foam being wiped away. Do you see in this photo what was used to wipe the foam?
This towel there. And it was Brenda that got it. I remember her saying like, oh, is there something to wipe it? And looking, and then this is okay, and using that towel to wipe it away.
And do you recall if the towel was already in the room?
I believe so. Not 100% sure, but I believe that she bent down and picked that up and said, use this. Can I use this?
And do you know one way or the other if the foam had been wiped before your arrival?
I don't know if it had or not.
And when you say the towel, are you talking about the white object by that blue mat?
Yes, yes.
And at some point, did you end up looking up something in relation to the foam?
Yes. Like I said, I was new as a deputy coroner, not had a lot of training, and this foam was something that bugged me because the way it presented. So I looked up poisoning. Why, when I was there, I just pulled my phone up and started looking at that to see if there was something about poisoning that could cause that. I didn't find anything. I knew there was a couple of things.
Judge, this is calling for a narrative at this point, or this is a narrative at this point.
And why did you look up poisoning?
Just because it was an unusual looking amount of foam to me. And I'm curious what, you know, if there was something that could cause that in my mind, trying to think about reasons for this death.
And did you believe poisoning may be one cause for the foam?
I didn't find in that short time anything that that read about foam, but that just came to my mind.
And in that photo, there appeared to be a nightstand next to the bed. Do you recall that?
I do.
In looking at Tammy, well, let me back up. It was reported that she'd fallen out of bed, correct?
Yes.
And the way you described it was the top half of her body would have fallen.
Yes.
Did you see any indication on her head that she had any kind of an injury consistent with hitting a nightstand?
No, I did not see anything.
When Miss Dye arrived on scene, are you aware if she also spoke with Chad Daybell?
Yes, she would have spoke to him. She spoke to him when I wasn't present also. Like I was in the room still, and she spoke with him, I think, out in the living room at one point.
And once Miss Dye arrived on scene, whose decision would it have been whether or not to get an autopsy?
It would have been her decision.
When you talked to Chad Daybell about Tammy's health, did he ever mention seizures to you?
He didn't to me.
Did he ever mention fainting spells?
He didn't.
Did you inquire of Chad whether or not Tammy was taking any medication?
I did. He said that she didn't go to doctors. And I noticed on her nightstand, there was a homeopathic book or naturopathic type book. Because I worked in the medical field, my mind went, she probably had some illness that she was treating herself that maybe caused this death. Because she was her age, I couldn't figure, you know, I was thinking, boy, she's young. So I thought, well, maybe that's why she's passed away. She wasn't seeing a doctor and was treating herself.
And when you respond out to unattended deaths, do you have the benefit of getting anyone's medical records?
No, not at that time.
So you were relying on information provided by the family?
Yes, I was by Chad.
And Chad was the only one providing information at that time?
Yes.
At any point, did Garth chime in and say anything about his mother's health?
No.
Was your concern that possibly the homeopathic remedies would have caused her death, or just something she may have been treating for?
I was more thinking that it would be something that she was treating herself for. Thinking, you know, she had something major going on and wasn't being seen by a physician.
Outside of what Chad told you, did you have any knowledge of whether or not Tammy was actually using those homeopathic remedies?
No, I didn't. I did ask to see her medications, and I did look in a cupboard in the kitchen area.
Did anything catch your attention in relation to the medications in the cupboard?
No, there wasn't anything that stood out to me. There was a few herbal type things, and no, I was more looking for a, you know, maybe prescription type medication. I didn't see anything that stuck out.
And when you talk about her maybe having an illness she was trying to treat, are you talking about something more than like a common cold?
Yeah. You know, if she had, could she have had a stroke or could just something underlying that she wasn't aware that she'd had.
And do you recall, did you provide the information you had to Miss Dye when she arrived on scene?
Yes.
And at some point, and let me back up as well, when Miss Dye arrived on scene, did you defer to her?
Yes.
And she then took over any additional?
Yes.
Were you involved in a conversation regarding whether or not an autopsy should be conducted?
Yes, I was.
And at the conclusion, did Miss Dye determine not to have an autopsy ordered?
Yes.
Do you know if Chad Daybell wanted an autopsy?
We distinctly asked, I remember us asking him, would you like an autopsy performed? And he said, no, he did not want one.
And when you respond out to unattended deaths, will you also consider external information?
You mean like from
family members or other sources?
Yes.
When you responded out, had you ever heard the name J.J. Vallow?
No.
Had you ever heard the name Tylee Ryan?
No.
Had you ever heard the name Lori Vallow?
No.
Had you ever heard the name Alex Cox?
I had not.
Have you since heard of those names associated with Chad Daybell?
Yes, I have.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Thank you, Judge.
Good morning.
We'll try that again. Good morning, Ms. Wilmore.
Good morning.
I have a mental block about turning the speaker on for some reason. So, initially, Chad talked to you about Tammy had been, for the last month or so, had been clumsy, lightheadedness.
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates testimony.
Sustained.
Moved to strike.
Strike that.
You previously talked and been inquiring about the prosecuting attorney. Was there a mention of clumsiness by Chad?
Yes, he said that she had a little hypotension and a lightheadedness and had been a little clumsy.
Okay. And that is what you had testified earlier, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I understand that you had, I saw your interview with the FBI. Remember, do you recall talking with the FBI?
I do.
Okay. And in that interview by the FBI, you noted that you had some 40 years as a medical assistant.
Yes.
That you were a trainer in EMT and EMR. And can you explain to me what those are?
Well, they're just levels of in the EMS system. You start out as an emergency responder, then you become an EMT, and then you become an advanced EMT, and then, well, it doesn't have to be in that order. Like, you could be an advanced EMT going through, but I train people that are going to be EMRs or just basic EMTs.
Now, I noted in the interview with the FBI, you made mention that you saw a book on the nightstand, and it notes for homeopathic and natural remedies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you saw?
Yes.
Then there's a comma, and it says essential oils and herbs. Did you see on the nightstand essential oils and herbs?
No, just like on the book, the cover, the title on the book.
Okay, so the title of the book was on the nightstand talking about essential oils, herbs, homeopathic and natural home remedies.
Yes.
Okay. And then when you looked in the cabinet, were you able to confirm that there were some homeopathic medicine?
No, yes, a few. I don't recall what the names were, but there was a few, couple.
Okay. Now, at the time that you spoke with Chad about an autopsy, was anybody else from the Daybell family there at that time?
I don't recall that there was.
Okay.
I just remember him standing off to the side.
Is it possible that there was a discussion at that point and that it was actually Emma who had talked
about... Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's adding testimony.
Sustained.
Is it possible someone else from the family had suggested an autopsy?
I do not know.
You don't recall?
Don't recall.
And your recollection is that it was just you and Chad and the coroner there at the time discussing that. Is that right?
And the mortician was there also.
The mortician was there as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you aware as to whether or not there was a previous discussion with the Daybell family and Chad about on the topic of a autopsy?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay. Do you recall telling the FBI in your report that Chad mentioned you, Tammy, had not seen a doctor about her illness?
Yeah, that she didn't go to doctors.
Much,
you know, that she just didn't go to doctors.
Okay. The expression, my recollection is that it was, she did not, what you were quoted as saying by the FBI is she did not go.
Objection, Your Honor. I think if counsel wants to show her a report to try to refresh her recollection, that's one thing, but
sustained.
I'd object to it being read in.
Is it possible that you told her, is it possible that Chad told you Tammy didn't see any doctors about her illness?
About like a specific illness. I think what I recall was just because I'm medical field, me saying, well, you know, does she have any other illnesses. And he said, well, she just doesn't really see doctors much. So it wasn't specific to that illness. It was more of a history type.
Okay. Did Chad mention to you that Tammy had not been feeling well for about a month or so?
Yes.
That there was a discussion about lightheadedness?
Just that he stated that she'd had some lightheadedness.
Okay. Now, on the issue of the towel that was used to wipe away the foam from Tammy's mouth, did you look at that towel before you used it to see if there was anything on it?
I did not use it. It was Brenda Dye that used it. So I can't comment on that.
Did you see Brenda use it?
I did.
Okay. And Brenda got it somewhere off of the floor?
Yes.
Okay. And did you happen to look at the towel prior to her wiping off the
No, face? I didn't.
You talked a little bit about the bruise. And in your medical experience, you mentioned that the bruise was nothing of significance. Is that what you testified previously to?
Yes. That's how I felt.
Did you observe that bruise? You mentioned that previously, if I recall your testimony earlier, that it wasn't red. Is that?
Yeah, it was more of a blackish blue, you know, an older looking coloration.
Okay. Okay. And that was nothing that drew your attention in terms of concern?
I just noted it because that's part of my job.
And as part of the 40 or 50 death scenes you went to, seeing a bruise like that is nothing.
Objection, Your Honor, misstates the testimony.
Stain.
You've been to 40 or 50 death scenes, right?
Only four. Well, I had, as an EMT, been to lots of deaths, but as a deputy coroner, I'd only been to about five or six in the time I had become the deputy coroner.
So the combination of your EMT and experience as a coroner, it's 45 to 50 plus death scenes. Is that fair?
That's fair.
And at the time, the bruising is not something that you took into consideration when deciding whether or not there needed to be further investigation of this. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. I would just say it was not enough to be noted as anything suspicious.
And again, how many of those were on there? Bruises on the arm?
Maybe like two to three.
Okay. And then anything else on the body, the chest, anywhere else?
Not that I noted at that time.
Okay. And then you were concerned about the foaming of the mouth, correct?
Yes.
And as part of your limited research, you didn't find anything in your role as part of looking. Was that curiosity or was that part of your role?
Because I was new, because I love medical stuff, it was a curiosity. It was also because she was 49.
Right.
And I didn't understand. I thought of some other things like congestive heart failure or a heart problem. I knew some of those things could cause some frothing is what they described.
Is that what you discovered?
What do you mean to discovered?
Well, oh, was
that? Not in research. That's just in my own knowledge. And so I was trying to look up some other causes.
Okay. In your own knowledge, is there something that causes foaming of the mouth when someone is afflicted with a heavy lung situation?
All I was aware of was maybe some heart issues. But I know because of knowing that, I kind of looked at her ankles. I was thinking of like swelling and edema in their ankles and things if they have congestive heart failure or heart issues. Some of those things can sometimes. So I looked for those things. I just didn't know enough to.
Okay. Okay. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. Judge, that's all I have at this point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. Redirect, Ms. Blake, once you're ready.
You were asked about being told Tammy didn't go to a doctor. Do you recall that from counsel?
Yes.
When you looked at Tammy's medication, were any of those prescription medication that you saw?
I don't know. I do not recall any.
Generally speaking, would someone need to go to a doctor to get a prescription?
Yes.
And again, when you're on scene, did you have the benefit of requesting or reviewing any medical records?
No.
So you were going off information only provided by Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And just by looking at a bruise, would you be able to determine if it was new or old for sure?
Not for 100% sure.
And
I wouldn't be able to.
Would that be something that would be looked at in an autopsy to determine the age of a bruise?
Yes.
And you did not perform an autopsy?
No.
Could there be other causes of the foam around the mouth, or do you know?
Yeah. I didn't know enough to know what other things could cause foam around. Yes, I'm sure there's lots of things that can cause this, and that's why I was kind of searching things.
Could asphyxiation cause foam?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
All right, thank you. That'll conclude the testimony then of this witness. Is she going to be recalled by the state?
The state would ask to release her.
And Judge, she is under subpoena from my office, but I'm releasing her at this point.
Okay, then thank you for appearing and testifying. You're released from the subpoenas, and so you can watch the trial if you choose, or otherwise you can go ahead and step down and I'll have the state call its next witness when they're ready.
Thank you.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would call Jason Gawillion.
We swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, counsel, the court made a determination that this particular witness is not subject to the court's exclusionary order, so you can inquire on direct, Mr. Wixon.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, will you please state and spell your full name for the record?
My name is Jason Gawillion. JasonGWilliam.
And where do you live?
I live in Springville, Utah.
How long have you lived there?
I've lived there approximately 28 years.
Are you related to Chad Daybell?
I am related to Chad Daybell.
Can you tell the jury how?
I married Samantha Gawillion, who is Tammy Daybell's sister, making Chad and I brother-in-laws.
How long have you been brother-in-law?
I married Samantha in 1995, so about 28 years.
During the time that you've been married to Samantha, have there been a number of years that you've lived around Chad Daybell and Tammy Daybell and their family?
Yes.
About how many years did you live in the same community as them?
When my wife and I were first married, we spent approximately two years, a year and a half in Cedar City. And Chad and his family at that time were in Ogden. We moved into Springville. Well, I'm going to go on and say about 26 years. We moved into Springville in the winter of 96, and I think they moved in shortly after that in 97. So from 1997 until they moved to Idaho.
When did they move to Idaho?
Moved to Idaho in 2015.
So 18 years, does that sound right?
Yes.
When they moved to Springville, did you live in the same neighborhood?
When we first, when they first moved in, we actually lived across the street from each other. After that, sequentially, we moved around the corner. We were probably within a block for that entire time.
Can you explain to the jury kind of the nature of the relationship? How often did you have interaction with Chad and his family?
We would have interaction with them. It wasn't uncommon for at least once or twice a week. In Chad and I's case, probably sometimes 3 to 4 times or more a week.
Did you go to the same church?
We did attend the same church.
Did you and Chad ever spend any time working together?
We did spend some time working together. Chad and I had opportunity throughout that time to share, I think, at least 3 shop spaces together. And previous to him moving up to Idaho, he and I worked together for 6 months before he went up there.
Could you explain to the jury, do you feel like you are someone who is close to Chad?
I feel like that Chad and I were very close.
Are you aware of any other friends during that time period that Chad had that were maybe closer even than you were?
He had friends from high school. He had other relatives that he had, but it probably wasn't as close as what we were, or I felt we were.
Being relatives and close friends, did you and Chad ever have one-on-one talks or conversations where you might confide in one another?
We had a lot of backing up, we have a lot of talks where we would talk about different issues with regards to family, with regards to religion, with regards to just about anything. And I felt like we had some really deep conversations in regards to a number of things, just as two good friends and brother-in-laws would.
Was there ever a time that Chad expressed to you any concerns about his marriage to Tammy?
I don't want to say concerns at that time, but you know, you have your relationships that you have with your spouse, and there are times where you don't always get along. And so we might have discussed and talked about some of that.
Did Chad ever discuss with you his intimacy with Tammy, his wife?
There were times he did.
What in particular would he discuss with you about that?
Jack, at this point, this is isn't relevant.
Sustained.
Was there anything specific in your discussions with Chad that he explained if he had concerns about his relationship with Tammy?
Just in the fact that I think he felt like at times it was a little vanilla. It was a little bland.
What did he mean by, what did he say about that?
Just in certain aspects of the relationship, that it was just a marriage of just, we have a lot of routine, just general routine that we go through.
Did you and Chad share the same religious views, generally speaking?
Generally speaking, while he was in Utah, yes, we did.
Had Chad ever confided in you or shared with you any experiences that he may have had in La Jolla, California?
He did.
Can you explain La Jolla? Yes. Can you explain to the jury what did he tell you about that experience?
Said he had an experience that was a little life-changing in the fact that he was in the ocean, large wave came in, a lot of rocks, smashed him against the rocks, chewed up his back pretty good, and it was one of those moments that you just don't forget.
And did he also share with you an experience that he had in Flaming Gorge, Utah?
Yes, he did.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. This is becoming leading.
Overruled.
Yes, he did.
Thank you. What was that experience?
Another experience in his youth where he was jumping off cliffs, and as he hit the water, he felt that his spirit separated from his body and become torn from his body.
Is that something that he'd explained to you originally?
He had talked to me about that.
Judge, could we get some foundation as to time, date?
Sure. Can you let the jury know when did these conversations occur? What year?
Approximately? Conversations occurred early 2000s when we would have conversations about that.
Yeah. And we'll get to it later, but was there a later time that you also discussed these?
We did discuss these later, yes.
But in the early 2000s is what you're saying as to these two conversations,
yes.
Is that right?
I'm going to have you, Mr. Rickson, as well as you, Mr. William, just please slow down a little bit and try not to talk over the top of each other for our record. Thank you.
Sure. At some point in time, did Chad's religious views change?
I believe they did.
Let's first explain to the jury, when did you first start seeing this kind of a change?
I would say at the time he started writing his books.
Can you pin it down to an approximate year?
If I were to put an approximate year to it, I would say 2006 to 2007.
In what way did his religious views change?
They became more focused, hyper-focused on preparing end of times, things of that nature.
When you use the word hyper-focused, what do you mean by that?
I think as a general rule, most people involved in our religion have a tendency to try to round out the religious information they receive. And in this case, by saying hyper-focused, I would say that it became more of an obsession and more than normal.
At any point in time, during the time, this time frame, did Chad ever express to you a feeling that he had received visions?
He did.
And approximately when did he first start expressing that to you?
Probably around 2010, 2011.
What types of visions did he tell you that he was having?
They were visions regarding how things were going to play out in the last days.
At some point in time, did Chad again visit with you about this experience from Flaming Gorge and La Jolla, California?
Yes, he did.
Did anything about the experiences as he shared them with you change?
Originally, there were experiences that were experiences that you have that are impactful. They soon became near-death experiences as opposed to just something that was impactful.
Could you explain a little bit more about that to the jury as to what Chad would explain when he couched them as near-death experiences?
Originally, when the stories were told, it was an experience that happened, and then it became an experience that happened in La Jolla of where I had an experience where I saw a relative that had deceased and passed on. And then the experience in Flaming Gorge became my body and spirit were torn and the veil was ripped and I could see into the heavens and into the eternities.
Was there anything about that change that you were concerned by?
Yeah.
What was that?
That it wasn't consistent, that it just became more of a narrative now.
From that point forward, did you continue to see Chad's religious views change?
I did.
In what way?
It again started focusing more on end times, more on what would happen in America, what would happen with things in the future.
When did he first start expressing his views on those things?
That would have been around 2013, 2014.
And could you be a bit more specific about the nature of what he was telling you?
He got involved with other authors. They started to publish books and write books. They would talk about, in particular...
Judge, I'm going to object at this point, unless there's some foundation that establishes how he knows this rather than this narrative.
Stand.
Can you just isolate your comments to things that you heard directly from Chad?
Chad Daybell told me there would be two earthquakes that would happen. There would be the Wasatch wake-up quake.
And Judge, could I have some foundation as to when this discussion supposedly took place?
Is that an objection?
That's an objection, Judge.
Overruled.
Go ahead, please.
These conversations started in 2013, 2014, and continued on until he left to go to Idaho and continued on past that.
And I think before we had an objection, I'd ask you to explain to the jury kind of the nature of the things he was telling you about his change in view.
I was informed that there would be earthquakes, that there would be destruction in America. I was informed that there would be invading troops that would come from various different countries into the Americas.
Did those views that he shared with you, did they cause you any concern?
Sure.
In what way?
Well, it's a fear tactic.
What do you mean by
that? That's not an object. Calls for speculation.
Overruled.
You may continue.
In my opinion, it's a fear tactic. It's a way to let people know I know more than you, and therefore you should listen to me.
Why did you perceive it that way?
I perceived it that way because when you bring up anything on a natural disaster, it has a tendency to create fear. When you bring in wars and rumors of wars, it creates fear.
Eventually, I think you said Chad and his family moved to Idaho.
Yes.
And what year was that again?
2015.
At the time that he moved, had he invited you to move with him?
He had.
Can you explain to the jury how that request went and why he was asking you to come?
Towards the end of 2015, he expressed his desire for my wife and I and family to move up to Idaho so that we could be in proximity with our families, with each other.
Did he say any more about that?
He felt that it would be good for us to move up there in order to escape the earthquakes and the desolation and the things that would happen in Utah.
What was he telling you about what it would be like in Rexburg?
He said that Rexburg would be a city of light, place of refuge, place that people would want to come to and be at.
And what was your reaction when he asked you to come up?
My curiosity at first was piqued because I wanted to know. I don't want to be in the middle of a giant earthquake. So naturally I thought, okay, this is something that might be of interest.
Did you take stock in any of his visions? Did you believe any of those things?
Originally, yes, I did.
At that time, were you still embracing maybe some of what he was teaching?
During that time frame, yes.
So why did you eventually not move up to Idaho?
Didn't feel it was right.
Any specific reason why?
There were things that were going on that it didn't feel right. We had opportunity to visit. Idaho is a beautiful place and a great place for some. It just, for us, wasn't going to be a place that we needed to be at.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.